Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush.
3, 1.
Contact established.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Number 2, Out of Bounds, William Quaggamus, Kelly Gramlich. We are live in the Priority One Security Studios, where security is their first priority. Texter from San Diego. It's Deontay, who asked a question about Georgia and Mississippi State. I gotta go find it now.
We got to talk about this game a little bit.
Yeah, we gotta talk about it a little bit.
We have so much to talk about.
Basically, this is what it says. After seeing what Mississippi State did to LSU, were you surprised at how UGA handled them? What do you take from that? Does it say LSU's hot garbage or UGA is a true contender? I think it might say a little bit of both. LSU struggled to put away Syracuse, which, again, you've got quarterback issues. And I feel bad for Matt Canada now, because I thought that he would revolutionize, and it turns out that the issues were deeper entrenched than we thought. If Matt Canada can't make your offense pop, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
Then you've got problems.
Exactly. So maybe that's it. Georgia looks really good right now. I want to see, with a freshman quarterback, there are going to be some ups and downs. They got to keep that backfield healthy. There's so many ifs with Georgia, where they've looked like this at times before, and then injuries or inconsistencies have plagued them. But this is definitely a better start, given the challenges that they have faced, than I think maybe we expected, with the possible exception of maybe them playing a little bit better at Notre Dame in winning for a lot of people.
That's true. But bottom line is, I don't think Jake Fromm is the reason that Georgia's doing what they're doing. I mean, I think Jake Fromm's been fine. And I think he's a solid kind of freshman game manager for you. I mean, he threw 12 passes and Georgia won by 30. He threw 12 passes. He completed 9 of them, and there were a few deep ones in there. He threw for 200 yards. He was good. Like, I'm not trying to knock Jake Fromm. But, I mean, the reason Georgia is playing so well is, I think, their running attack and their defense. Their defense has proven to be salty. I mean, they destroyed Nick Fitzgerald. They made him look pedestrian. Some people who were saying he was the best quarterback in the SEC just last week, they made him look terrible. So I think Georgia's defense is for real. That's kind of what I took from it. And I think that they can win games offensively in different ways. I think that's good for UGA. I picked Georgia to win the East at the beginning of the year because I thought they were the most talented team in the East. And I thought that maybe Eason would hold them back. I like what they're doing with Fromm, and I hope that they stick with Fromm. But I think Georgia's more for real than maybe we gave them credit for in the beginning of the year. Can they do more than win the East? I'm not sure. I don't think they compete with Bama, but they can win the East and get to maybe a New Year's Six Bowl, and that's going to be a great year, too, for Kirby Smart.
The whole, don't know why Clemson took so long to blow out Boston College. If you listen to the comments after the game, we'll get to Vince's phone call in just a moment. 654-ROAR, if you'd like to join us on the North Communication phone lines today, 654-7627. I guess the nature of Boston College, if you listen to the comments from Brent Venables and Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott and Dabo Swinney, there is a great deal of respect for Steve Adazio. And I've said this often. People say, well, they just want Adazio in the league, which they've said it about coaches before. Well, you know, they just want him in the league so they can beat him, because they know they can beat him and they want him in the league. Like when they say good stuff about Paul Johnson, you got to be on the, well, they just want it because they beat him every year. They don't say great stuff about some coaches. I'll leave those nameless.
I'm going to need you real quick, though, after this point, to make a public declaration and a public apology to Mr. David Dorn.
Oh, my gosh.
Head coach of the North Carolina State Wolfpack, who beat a ranked team on the road for the first time in 10 years.
My gosh.
I'm going to need a public apology. Just whenever you feel comfortable.
I'll say it.
Okay. Take your time. Take your time.
There's some coaches who will remain nameless who may have just won for the first time against a ranked opponent in the, 5 years he's been in the school. Or I guess the first time in 11. Let's be fair to the guy. That they don't say nice glowing things about, It's kind of like the Kirk Ferentz, James. Did you see the Kirk Ferentz, James Franklin 0.2-second handshake after the game? Everyone hates James Franklin.
Oh, he seems like the worst. He seems he like such an like instigator. Worst. And
oh, yeah.
But we got to talk about Penn State, too, because I thought that was a gutsy win. And
oh, McSorley, that pass
well,
on his back
foot. That pass was incredible. But
that was outstanding.
If there's a September Heisman to me, it is Saquon Barkley, who defies gravity and laws of physics and
what
everything else. That guy's unbelievable.
He's the best player in America, period. He's okay, shown on the field.
He's unbelievable. We're getting distracted.
Yeah, we
continue
are getting
with
distracted.
Your point. Continue.
So, like, they're not just, they don't just give lip service to this. This is not a program where lip service is a thing. I don't know if you noticed by now, but Dabo Swinney kind of just says how he thinks about stuff. He kind of just says things on purpose, you know? He ain't going to lie to you directly. He might not tell you the whole truth about some stuff, proprietary information, which that makes the media mad sometimes, and I get it, I understand it. But he ain't going to lie to you about a coach. He's not going to tell you Steve Adazio is a tough study because you know that he's going to have a great game plan. You're just not going to, I mean, that's not a thing. You're not going to hear that from him. So he says great stuff about Adazio. They don't have the depth at Boston College to be able to withstand 60 minutes against a team like this. And a perfect example is the Notre Dame game. You see the final score of the Notre Dame game, and you think to yourself, Notre Dame just blasted Boston College. For the first 40 minutes of the game, you know what the score was? 40 minutes in. 14-13 Notre Dame. Then Notre Dame outscored Boston College in the last 20 minutes, 35-7.
Sounds familiar.
It was a similar script.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, if we really paid attention to the Notre Dame game, and again, early in the season, you don't have a full track record because you've only done this like one or two times. But it is important, I guess, to note now that we can understand, we have the capability to understand it. This is who Boston College is. They're going to keep the game close for about 2/3 of it. And if you play poorly, it might go a few minutes longer. But ultimately, they're going to succumb to a deeper team. Wake Forest was a different type of situation. A lot of that was turnovers. But there again, 21-10 going into the last half of the third quarter, and then Boston College didn't score again. They kicked a field goal with 10 minutes left in the third. Wake Forest played well at BC, but BC also turned the ball over four times.
I was
going
to say, didn't BC turn the ball over four times? Yeah, BC did not exactly help themselves. And yeah, you had the two picks. BC had two picks on Saturday.
Yeah.
But two of them, they were good. I mean, like that Mullen pick was impressive, but it's not like it set Clemson up on their own 25. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That pick that Mullen had was pretty much a punt is what it ended up looking like.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But, you know, I don't think that in hindsight, I don't think we could have foreseen this because we only had the one example. Now you've got two examples. So if it happens to the next team where Boston College plays for 2.5 quarters or 3 quarters or into the fourth quarter, very close with a team that then pulls away, you're not thinking to yourself, boy, this is weird for 3 quarters, because now you have a track record. They have a pattern that they've established how they play.
And tell me this, Kwok. I think this was a little bit of what happened, I would say, with how Clemson fans and how we, I mean, as a show, were approaching the BC game. Clemson looked so good against Louisville for many reasons. I think part of it is that Louisville's not as good as we thought, and their defense was pretty bad. And that Clemson just was clicking on all cylinders in that game. So I think this whole narrative going into the season was Clemson should be good. We should contend, but you're just not as good as last year. I mean, that was the narrative. And I think after one game, much like maybe Mississippi State read their press clippings, I don't think the players did this, but the fan base did this to a certain extent, saying, we didn't lose a step. We're better than last year. Look at Kelly Bryant. Look at our running game. Look at our defense. We're better than last year. And I think that was a tad premature. You know what I mean? To kind of take the win over Auburn, the win over Louisville, and just think that Clemson as a team is the same Clemson last year that beat Boston College 56-10. There was this narrative that Clemson was the exact same team they were as national champions in 2016. And I think that we jumped on that bandwagon a little early. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. There are going to be some growing pains with this team. If that's the growing pain that you have this season, then you're going back to the Natty. I mean, it's that simple.
Well, think about it. After Kelly Bryant's performance against Louisville, you had people tweeting about, you know, can Kelly Bryant be better than Deshaun? I mean, not exactly, a little tongue-in-cheek, of course, but look, I mean, the bottom line is Kelly Bryant showed some struggles, some growing pains. It's his fourth start. And like we've said all along, he's not Deshaun. He's his own player. He rushed for 100 yards. That's a big thing. But I think that we were talking, Clemson fans were calling in saying Kelly Bryant for Heisman. And the man had two passing touchdowns.
That was dumb. Yeah, that was dumb. And there's a difference between saying the offense is more efficient and the quarterback's better too.
Right.
Because the offense was more efficient, but the quarterback wasn't better. It's not better.
I mean, I think we've had some texts about this too. We have to address the O-line a little bit.
Just a little bit, yes.
And we will.
Sure. Let's go to the phones. Vince is up with us next. Hey, Vince, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Well, I'm in Ohio, so not really. Anyway, I got a slight concern about our O-line. I've been watching both our right tackles get pushed around for a few games, but in Boston, this last game, saw our left tackle, Hyatt, getting shoved around too. And I was wondering if you thought there was any concern there.
I'm not sure that there's a concern about that in and of itself, because I think those are not new concerns from the five guys up front. I think what you have is you have a quarterback that's not as perceptive or doesn't have the pocket presence in the field that his predecessor did. So whereas Deshaun Watson might have made the offensive line look better sometimes, I feel like Kelly Bryant's not. You're gonna get what you get from the offensive line because, yeah, he might make a couple guys miss, but he's not evading pressure before it comes like Deshaun Watson did. And I also think that your pass protection surrounding your offensive line, where Jordan Leggett was dramatically improved last year and where Wayne Gallman was clearly far and away the best guy in the running back rotation, and I think probably better than most people gave him credit for in terms of picking up blitzes, those things aren't there anymore. So yeah, the offensive line's a concern, but I think it's more about the changes around the offensive line that make it look worse, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, I fully agree with you what you said about Gallman's blocking. It was outstanding. My concern comes in is when Frumorgan left and Pollard basically stepped in for him last season, I didn't think we missed a step. And you're 100% right about Deshaun helping with that, but I'm seeing regression. And when it's being noticed with Hyatt on the left side, that makes me a little scared.
I don't disagree with you, Vince, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I think, absolutely. I think right tackle is one thing, but you're seeing a little bit of bending. You're seeing a little bending with the left tackle right now, really and truly. And I understand why, because you're using more five-man protection. But here's another thing, too. Auburn's defensive front, we probably didn't give them the respect that they deserve. They were very good, and they played quite well.
Quack, remember, I asked Mitch Hyatt, how would you rank Auburn's defensive front? And he said, it is right there with Alabama's. I mean, that's what he said.
And also, you're talking about Mitch Hyatt going against this past weekend. This has nothing to do with
Harold Landry.
You're going against Harold Landry, who's going to be the NFL equivalent of a lottery pick. He's going to be taking the first half of the draft, probably, as a pass rusher to the next level. And a guy who we said hadn't really been sacking a quarterback this year, but is certainly capable. I'm not sure there's anybody better than Harold Landry at getting to the quarterback that's remaining on Clemson's schedule.
Bradley Chubb.
Maybe Bradley Chubb is in that class. It's a little bit different athlete with more of a speed rusher. Landry has some speed, but he's also a powerful guy. I would classify Chubb as not a weakling, not like, and I don't want to say Vic Beasley's a weakling, not just a speed guy that's just going to run past people, but I would say he uses more of the speed element to get to the quarterback, and Landry uses more of a power element to rush the quarterback. That's my perception of it. And so there's maybe Hyde does better with one and the other. I really don't know. These are new because we haven't seen him giving up sacks. And I do think part of it is that Deshaun would throw the ball away or he would roll out of the pocket. He was perceptive of pressure before it came. And Kelly Bryant's primary weakness is that his pocket presence is poor. It's a guy who still needs significant work in that area.
Riddle me this, Quack. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Where do you attribute the blame, for lack of a better term, to for the collapsing pocket? Okay, for Clemson's collapsing pocket on Saturday. And you have three options: O-line, running back pass protection, or the quarterback himself.
I'm going to...
If you could do a pie chart for me.
If I could do a pie chart, I'm going to say the offensive line.
Like 100%?
It's the biggest chunk. Because ultimately, you're facing you're facing 5-on-5 and you need to just be able to protect a little bit. Now, Boston College, again, their entire scheme was brilliant in that they were able to send pressure and take away safety valves that were comfortable for Kelly Bryant. And because of that, he's holding the ball longer.
Hunter Renfrow caught one pass in the slot?
I'll have to go back and look at it.
Maybe two. One was early.
That one early in the game, the one where he ran after the catch, which I don't even know he could do.
Right.
I don't know he had that skill set. I thought he just went straight down.
That is one of Kelly Bryant's safety valves that I thought was taken away a bit.
Oh, I feel like that's a big part of it. That not only did they bring pressure with 5 and 6 guys when Clemson had 5 or 6 guys to block, with lesser peripheral block, you know, your tight end's probably about as good in pass protection as Leggett was, but your running back's not as good. None of the running backs are as good as Gallman in pass protection. I don't think it's even close right now. And you've got a quarterback that's not as perceptive, but I still think the primary responsibility falls on the offensive line. And the reason I say that is because Dabo Swinney said it. We didn't protect our quarterback today. That was his first thing. Now, Kelly Bryant's got to get rid of the ball, so that's a part of it. And the running back and tight end, when they're bringing 6 guys, you don't have 6 linemen. So they've got to at least chip and help the blitz and help give the quarterback an extra half a second or so. So I would make that third. But the primary responsibility still is on the offensive line to protect for the most part. And I also think receivers getting open down the field was a bit of a concern, but because of the coverage Boston College was playing, you can only run the route assigned to you. And I think a lot of the routes assigned to Clemson ran them into coverage for a while because it took Clemson some time to adjust to a brand new thing that they hadn't seen Boston College do defensively.
I think that's fair. I will say this, though. One thing we haven't really talked about, it was disappointing to see Ray McLeod go from the game of his life to just not even on the field. I mean, he was on the field, literally, but I'm talking in terms of production. He had one good, that good punt return. I believe it was beginning of the fourth quarter that did kind of activate the offense, which was great. But he caught 2 balls for 2 yards.
Minus two yards. Yeah.
That's tough. When you thought that he was going to kind of burst onto the scene and be a little more consistent, and he went from career game to not even really appearing.
You can hear Mickey Plowler, 6-9. I talked to him about this. That's in the morning, by the way. I talked to him about this. One of the reasons that the screen game, and there were a couple of reasons, we'll talk about that more coming up. One of the reasons the screen game was non-existent, along with the whole Kelly Bryant takes 8 years to get the ball out there and it looks like he's just not confident throwing it. And maybe, you know, maybe he would have been had some of these issues not cropped up, you know, immediately during a game.
He lobs some of those quacks.
Some of that is that they kind of blew up Renfrow's blocks with bigger guys. So they had bigger play, a linebacker or somebody. Basically, that Renfrow's trying to block a guy 40, 50 pounds heavier than him. And you're not going to be able to, you're not winning that. If you try to cut block him, you're not winning it. If you try to hold him up, you're not winning it. If you try to move him, you're certainly not winning it. You're going to lose that battle. So they did some things to take away Clemson's screen game. And I think what Clemson thought was going to be just sort of open generally was not open generally. In fact, it was more of a specific, almost like you see from, I saw Aaron Rodgers do it yesterday. You hot read and go out there. You hot read and go out there. You hot read and go out there. What Clemson tried to do was design screens to go out there when there was leverage or not, where probably based on the way the coverage reacted, you probably shouldn't have done it, but I'm not sure you know that in pre-snap. There's just a lot going on that Clemson wasn't aware of going into the game and had to adjust in stride.
I think the blocking is really big. Part of it, too, is, Deshaun Watson was so good at getting that screen pass out, turn your hips and fire it, and Kelly Bryant was lofting in there. And then Artavis Scott was really good at meeting the ball. I felt like the receivers on those screen passes, whether it was Ray or Hunter or whoever, they weren't meeting the ball. And I mean, that's a fundamental thing. That's in almost every sport, meet the ball, right? But I just felt like, I mean, that Deshaun and Artavis, especially when you think back to maybe, I don't know, the 2014 South Carolina game that comes to mind, they were elite in the screen game. And you just didn't see that yesterday. Saturday. What day is it? Saturday.
654 Roar is the number. 654-7627. On the North End Communication phone lines, if you'd like to get in and talk Clemson Boston College today. This hour is brought to you by Monahan Company Real Estate, celebrating 10 years in business, serving Clemson in the Tri-County area. Like them on Facebook or stop by the office at 422 College Avenue. Call Monahan Company Real Estate at 639-1188. Texter says, speaking of bigger guys, Qualk, aren't you a bigger guy? I would know about bigger guys, apparently. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroResGreenville.com.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with three convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
Football is here and winter weather is not far behind. Get Old Man Winter ready by shopping Craft Stove Store and Patio for all your fireplace needs. Vent-free gas logs heat for just pennies an hour and use no electricity, so they keep you warm even during a power failure. Choose from over 20 burning models of vented and vent-free logs with natural or propane gas. Shop and save at Craft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, for everything your heart desires.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
No matter where you're going, you'll see hundreds of convenience stores along your route. What sets Locomart in Clemson apart? Quality gasoline at awesome prices? Yes. Rewards to help you save even more money? Yes. But you'll also find a huge craft beer selection at Locomart that you wouldn't find at a normal convenience store. There's only one stop you need to make. Locomart on Old Greenville Highway and Highway 123. Proudly locally owned and operated. Marathon. Fueling the American spirit.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
The Tigers face Virginia Tech Saturday, and we'll talk about what it will take to win against the Hokies. Join me Friday from 3 to 7 for Road Rage Live from George Coleman Ford. We'll have Papa John's Pizza and plenty of college football talk Friday from George Coleman Ford.
You know Joe's New York Pizza is all about the sauce, because I've told you so. Here's the thing, people. They have outrageous wings as well. They're not fried, and if you're up to the task, you can even get them with Cajun Asian sauce. Their meatballs and marinara come with their famous garlic knots. And remember, if you have certain food allergies, Joe's offers gluten-free. Joe's has delivery, and they're great for fundraisers. And the Clemson location caters with two locations in Seneca and Clemson. Joe's New York Pizza.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code, so it can strengthen any color. What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson, your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Just like our national champion Clemson Tigers, John Deere and AgPro know a thing or two about leaving it all on the field. Their compact tractors feature legendary toughness, strength, and unrivaled durability. Right now, you can check out the entire John Deere lineup at AgPro. They even have special financing available, so it won't take a big bite out of your budget. Find the location nearest you or request a quote today at agproco.com.
Kick off the 2017 Clemson football season with a new EasyGo golf cart from R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports in Seneca and Anderson. R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports is a factory-authorized dealer for EasyGo and Cushman vehicles. For the best in sales and service, pickup and delivery, and great 0% financing options, it's never been easier to get your dream EasyGo golf cart. If you need to rent a golf cart for the Clemson game, stop by R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports on 123 in Seneca and Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Online at rrgolfcarts.com.
Built strong to work hard and play hard, Kawasaki Mule side-by-sides take strength and versatility to another level. Tackle the toughest jobs with the durable, compact Mule SX or transport the entire crew with the Mule Pro FXT. Show everyone who's in charge with the newest addition to the family, the Mule Pro FXR. Equipped with premium features and aggressive styling, the Kawasaki Mule Pro FXR side-by-side is a true boss vehicle. Visit Foothills Motorsports at 104 Halter Drive in Piedmont for more details.
Out of Bounds with William Quackenbush and Kelly Gramlich.
Go right ahead. How can you be so nonchalant about this?
That's how we roll.
Now back to Quack and Kelly on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
The mountain is high.
Are you ready for numbers? You ready for stat comparison on sacks through four games?
Between
last year and this year?
Ooh.
With basically the same offensive line, save the center.
Right.
You ready?
And different quarterback.
All right, through four games, these were not the caliber of defenses that Clemson's faced this year in four games. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's apples to apples when you consider this, but I think these stats speak volumes. How many times do you think Clemson's quarterbacks have been sacked through four games this season?
Oh, we saw my terrible guessing skills were on display last week.
I know. I don't want to put you on the spot, but it goes to the perception of it.
All right. Well, I don't think Kent State even had one. I'm going to go 7.
The number's 8.
Okay. All right.
That's not even, what the heck?
Oh, Quack.
No, that's not even, come on, man.
You had a whole break.
Come on. I know. This is not right.
One of my favorite things that we do on the show is when you come back ready for a stat, and then you go, "Oh wait,
okay, wait a minute."
And then you're sitting there and you're looking it up, and you're like, "Do do 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 do." It's ridiculous.
Nah. All right, I know the number. The number's 10 now. I just had to. I had to go an extra spot. I thought these stats were updated for four games. They're updated for 3. What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
I don't know. Double check. I don't know.
10 sacks. 10
okay.
sacks.
Okay. 10 through four games.
Through four games. How many last year? How many you think last year through four games? Now again, this is we're talking Kent State, Auburn, Louisville, Boston College, and then last year it was Auburn, Troy, South Carolina State, Georgia Tech. So again, it's not entirely apples to apples.
Well, I think I'll go with 7 again. How about that for my guess for last year?
3.
Wow.
So you've had 7 more sacks through the first four games than you did last year.
That is telling.
That's very telling. And again, part of it is that you had a quarterback last year that was capable of making the offensive line look better. Kelly Bryant's not going to, unless he does superhuman things like he did a couple times, which I shouldn't make it sound like that's negligible. Him spinning out of tackles and basically putting his cape on and getting 5 yards out of an 8-yard loss. I shouldn't act like that's negligible, but when the pocket collapses, he is still patting the ball looking downfield a lot of times where Deshaun Watson was either running or at least perceptive of the pressure.
I agree. And you saw that on full display yesterday when Deshaun made a very mediocre Houston Texans offensive line look pretty good.
That's true. Holy smokes, was
Deshaun
he great?
Deshaun was incredible yesterday.
I don't have the stat in front of me right now, but have you seen under Belichick the quarterback ratings for rookies that have gone into Foxborough?
It was abysmal.
They've been
abysmal.
It's something like 4 touchdowns and 14 interceptions going into yesterday, and the quarterback rating for those players was like 12.
Can I give you Deshaun's stat line real quick?
Do it. Okay. Do it.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
The rookie quarterback who was drafted, the third quarterback drafted, let's not forget, he was 22 of 33 for 301 yards, 9.1 average there in terms of his average yards per pass.
Is that per completion or per attempt?
It just says, I would say it's per completion.
Okay.
That's my guess. 2 touchdowns, 2 picks, but they counted the pick on the final play.
Right.
On the Hail Mary. So I'm not even counting
it. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick.
So 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Sacked twice. QBR of 49.7. Quarterback rating of 90.6. Tom Brady was incredible as well. He threw 5 touchdowns because he's Tom Brady.
5 touchdowns, no picks. What a baller.
Right.
And he was getting pressured, too.
Yeah, he was.
By Watt and Clowney and still did that.
Deshaun
that was,
also
that was crazy.
Had 41 yards on 8 carries rushing. But the man went into Foxborough and was 22 of 33 for 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and I'm going to say 1 pick.
They had the win, too. If
what?
They come up with the, when Marcus Gilchrist forced the fumble, if they come up with the fumble,
right.
And then if the ball doesn't go off of what's-his-face's cleat, the receiver's cleat where the guy tries to pick it off and he falls on the guy's cleat and he jars the ball loose, then they're going to win that, too. They're going to win on that play,
well,
too.
Well, and if Tom Brady isn't Tom Brady.
Right.
Because you just left that man too much time.
What? That coverage was baffling. It was cover two. Why? First of all, why are you in cover two inside the 30 in that instance? Second of all, how are you not in cover two? You're on the outside. Legitimate. Let him throw it underneath. Don't give off a receiver. Oh, I got so many issues with the coverage there on the last play.
Tell me, did you watch a lot of the Texans-Patriots game?
I didn't watch much. I watched a good bit down the stretch of it.
Okay.
Early in the game, I didn't see very much.
I watched it pretty much start to finish.
Okay.
And if you didn't give me a box score, I would have said the Texans quarterback outplayed the Patriots quarterback. That's how it felt. Then you look, and not that Tom Brady was bad. But like you said, he was pressured a lot. One time he tripped over himself. Like he threw, or I thought he threw a pick. He didn't. It seemed like he did. He was strip sacked a few times. And then you look at his stats and the man throws for 5 touchdowns and nearly 400 yards. That's just what Tom Brady does. But I thought Deshaun Watson was incredibly impressive and showed a little bit of that arm strength that no one said he had when he hit, I want to say he hit Nuke across the field, throwing it across his body, throwing the entire width of the field. Which was an incredible play. I just thought, I was so impressed with Deshaun Watson on Sunday. So impressed.
James and Anderson's up with us next on the phone, 654-7627, 654-ROAR is the phone number on the Northern Communication phone lines today. What's up, James?
Hey, Walt, appreciate y'all taking my call, man.
Sure.
I just want to get y'all's thoughts on the offensive coordinator. I don't think we're too far away from somebody taking a look at them, because you can almost call the plays when they go to the line.
Well,
what you thought about that?
Well, I don't think you could have done it against Louisville. I kind of think that snapshot of the moment, and when your players don't execute very well, and when the defense is radically different than what you expected coming in, then that creates some issues. But ultimately, they were pushing 500 yards. David Hale had a stat this morning, and part of this is defense too, but Clemson's margin between the yards it's gained and the yards its opponents have gained is the largest in the country so far through 4 games. I'm not worried about the play callers. I mean, Clemson won a national championship with these play callers last year, so let's not forget that.
I just wasn't ready to play Saturday for some reason.
I agree with that.
All right, man. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, James. We appreciate it. I do think the snapshot of the moment is to question the play calling. I'm not sure, and I've said this before, and it comes off wrong, and I've tried to think of a better way to say it than how I'm going to end up saying it, and that is, you know, sometimes winning this game in a runaway is not the most important thing. Sometimes eviscerating an opponent, destroying an opponent, being way better than you need to be to win the game is not the most important thing. Sometimes there's a long-range goal that is actually, you know, part of the thought process here. And I think the long-range goal is you have a game plan that's pretty scaled down against an opponent that's not going to score against you, and you take your chances. Now, if you've got to open it up later, you do, and I think they did to some degree, particularly given some of the differences in the scheme that made it difficult on them. But I don't think that looking impressive and winning this game in 10 minutes was the most important thing this week. And so that's why the play callers looked like maybe they were scrambling a little bit or didn't really know what was happening. It felt like the game plan was, again, very scaled down this week. And that's obviously by design, and people are frustrated by it, but at the end of the day, they won the game. They accomplished their goal. And I guarantee you the game plan is going to look different this coming Saturday in Blacksburg at 8:12 or whatever the kickoff time is.
I think it'll look different, but part of me thinks that because of how good Kelly Bryant is with his legs, that the amount of times that, Clemson threw it against Louisville, specifically the deep ball, I'm not sure if that's going to be consistent throughout. I think you might see a little more of that three-headed monster and just trying to pound and grind with Kelly Bryant, Tavian Feaster, and Travis Etienne. Because Kelly
That's what you're going to see.
Right. Kelly Bryant's strength is his legs. I mean, he's an adequate thrower of the football. And he can throw a beautiful deep ball. And when his confidence is up, he can hit guys across the middle. But the reality is, when he is best is when he's running the ball. And I think you might see a little bit of a different Clemson offense going forward and a little more run-based with those three guys, with that three-headed monster. And I'm okay with that. I mean, no one cares in that coaching office if I am, but I think that's where Clemson's strength lies, is on the ground, even with all those receivers. I think with that trio, you could do some damage if that's kind of the main focus of your offense.
Let's take one more phone call before our next break. Paul and Henry's up with us. Hey, Paul, what's going on?
Hey, buddy, did I just hear a Clemson fan call our offense coordinators out? Did I just hear that?
That is correct. That's what happened.
Two back-to-back national champs, won a national champ, then somebody gets on here and says maybe we need to look at our offensive coordinators. How dumb can you be?
Paul, let me say this. There was a guy that tweeted me on Saturday during the game and said this, and I just want to say this for context because I don't want to act like James is the only guy that feels this way. I got a tweet, I think it was Parker that tweeted it, that said basically, when is Dabo going to be held accountable for replacing Chad Morris with a couple rookies who never called plays? And my response then was simply, when he returns the national championship rings they won calling plays last year. I mean, this was ridiculous.
That's a great response. But that just blew my mind. But before I left, I told Mickey this morning, before I left, me and my buddies, we got ready to go, and I said, don't go up here and think we're going to blow Boston College. I said, you come off a huge road win. You got another road game you got to go through next week. We're going to win this game 28-35 points, but we're not going to look good doing it. I didn't know who was going to score 28 points in the fourth quarter, but that's just the way football is. If anybody's watched football through the years, you're going to have a letdown, and I better have a letdown against Boston College. I'm not even going to say it's a letdown. It's just what you said a while ago. In the Auburn game, we knew we had that game won. We knew they couldn't score against us, and I think that same mentality was taken into this game. Once we scored, get up one touchdown, we knew that they weren't going to score on us. And I just don't understand people. I mean, they were just very vanilla. They weren't showing anything. But let me mention one other thing I talked about on Mickey's show.
Sure.
I was totally disappointed in the darn student section. I mean, it wasn't full when the game started, and at halftime, it was pathetic. And they bitch and whine about not getting tickets and all this, and here they are, don't show up for a game or clear out the hill at halftime. I don't want to hear nobody ever say anything else about them not getting tickets anymore, but I just want your thought on that. You have a good day.
Appreciate it, Paul. Thanks very much. It's the weakness of a lottery system that you can't differentiate between someone who cares about the ticket they got and somebody that doesn't. I mean, for every tweet I got critical of students, there was a tweet I got that said, my son or my daughter, a freshman, a senior, a grad student, a fifth year, a blah, 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 didn't get one. So maybe there are people out there. Maybe there are enough people out there that care enough to stay for four quarters. The problem is they were not in the stadium on Saturday in large measure. That was the only open area in the entire stadium, was that upper deck in the student section.
And then the hill.
It got back to where it was 5 or 6 years ago when they had block seating. And I was very critical of the block seating system and the way that people just sort of flippantly dealt with that. And I go back to this, and I don't want to belabor this point because I think it was obvious to people, and I think student leadership should be ashamed of itself and really feel like that their peers stabbed them in the back a little bit on this, because you got leadership who's trying to kind of, you know, barter with the athletic department, trying to get a compromise on this thing where they keep asking them to pay for tickets. And if you keep treating your free tickets that you get to these games like they're less valuable than the paper they're printed on, then you're going to end up having to pay for tickets. Or people who are willing to pay for tickets who can't get tickets because there are so many season ticket requests and there are no general admission tickets, they're going to end up getting money for those seats. If students don't start taking it more seriously when they get an opportunity to be in the stadium. Look, you can argue with me about how hot it was and how oppressive the conditions. And somebody said that EMS was called for several people. And I want to be like, there's a lot of reasons why EMS could be called for several people that have nothing to do with how much water they did or didn't drink, if you get my drift. Let me explain to you how game day works for a lot of these students, all right? I mean, don't come at me with who did what to the EMS. Well, who EMS coming again? Because I'm going to think the worst decisions, that they made the worst decisions, and not that they just overheated. All right, that's my bent. Stay with us. We're past a break. More to come, more phone calls after this.
Join Kelly and Brad for the Tiger Pregame Show, broadcasting live from 2 to 5 p.m. this Saturday from Magnolia Park on Woodruff Road. There will be live music, games, face painting, giveaways, and more during the pregame show at Magnolia Park on Woodruff Road.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders Online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your national champion Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Big weekend for Clemson football as they defeat Boston College 34-7 Saturday in Clemson's Memorial Stadium. It was the seventh consecutive game versus Boston College dating back to a 2010 loss in Boston. The seven-game win streak is also Clemson's second-longest active streak against an ACC team. Tigers have won eight in a row against the Demon Deacs of Wake Forest. Clemson has won 35 of its last 37 games now, dating back to the 11th game of the 2014 season. They've won 19 of the last 20 ACC games and 19 straight ACC Atlantic Division games. Clemson is now 48-1 against unranked teams since 2011, and they have won 12 in a row in the month of September, 25 in a row prior to the month of November. Clemson now 4-0 here in 2017. It's the third straight year and the fifth time in the last 7 years that Clemson has started at least 4-0. The Tigers started 8-0 in 2011, 6-0 in 2013, 14-0 in 2015, and 9-0 in 2016. Clemson heads to Blacksburg, Virginia this coming weekend. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with three convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
If you dream of owning your own business but are overwhelmed at where to start or what to do, call JanPro. Whether it's extra income or starting a new career, JanPro will guide you, train you, support you the whole way. Just listen.
We made a very small investment into the business, but yet they took the time to train us and to teach us, you know, how to do what we were supposed to do and everything. And not only to train us, but they follow up with us.
Call 485-3053 or online at jan-prowc.com.
Hi, we're at Ralph Hayes Toyota, where two former presidents have joined us for a brief chat.
Well, thank you, Murray. It's good to be among great Americans.
Yes, and I would second that, too, I think.
Well, one of you has been learning how to paint, I understand.
Well, that's right. It gives me something to do.
And he's really quite good at it, too, actually.
Well, how would you paint Ralph Hayes Toyota, Mr. President?
Well, I'd paint those beautiful Toyotas new and used against a beautiful blue sky.
Wow, we do really have a great inventory of new and even certified Toyotas right now.
Do you have a website? Because I love websites.
Well, yes, it's RalphHaysToyota.com.
RalphHaysToyota.com.
I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. How do y'all spell dot? I'm just kidding. You're great Americans.
The best new cars make the best used cars. Log on to RalphHaysToyota.com. That's RalphHaysToyota.com. You'll be glad you did.
Unfiled tax returns, payroll tax problems, IRS levies, liens, garnishments, audits. Call the local lawyer who looks out for you and will get the result you deserve. David Green at the Green Law Firm. Call for a free strategy session at 271-7940.
When you're a business that's been around for nearly 70 years, you know how to take care of customers. Join me Thursday for Bike Night at Tim's Harley Davidson and Anderson as Road Rage comes to you live from the oldest Harley dealer in South Carolina.
I'm Dabo Sweeney. For years, you've listened to me talk about the good people and superior service at Blue Ridge Security Solutions. Now I have some really exciting news. They have merged with Priority One Security, another local company with the same standard of excellence in residential, commercial, and industrial security. The same people are still in place making sure that your property is protected around the clock no matter where you are. Priority One Security. Take it from me.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com.
Shall we begin?
Out of Bounds is on the
yes,
air.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
105.5 The Roar. Back to Kwok and Kelly.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. I got my head checked by a jumbo check.
All right, welcome back. Glad to have you with us. I don't want to pile on students, but I feel like it is like Dan Radakovich. Again, this is where my voice isn't like I'm not the first one. Dan Radakovich isn't listening to this show, which I mean, I think he does from time to time. And if he is, then, you know, happy Monday. It's a glorious weekend after Clemson victory.
Real quick. Did you see Christian Wilkins and D-Rad have a little chest bump?
Yes.
Wasn't that
I did
awesome?
See that. That was
And
pretty
then
cool.
After the chest bump with Christian Wilkins, D-Rod gave Travis Etienne a firm handshake.
Yes.
Like right
man's
after.
Handshake. Yes. But I mean, he knows the dynamics of this probably better than people understand about the students' feelings about keeping the keeping tickets free and all that. And he also sees that nobody that paid for a ticket left really. Not large. I mean, I'm sure there were a few people, but there weren't large gaping sections of stands that were empty among the paying customers.
Besides the student section.
And student leadership. Look, I am blessed to be around a lot of student leaders, and I, you know, I'm telling you right now, student leadership has to get the word out that this is ultimately going to cost the students in the long run. I'm thinking of the best interest of students right now. People think I'm just ripping them. If you want to keep tickets free, then stay in the stadium, especially when you got waiting lists of people who would pay for those tickets. I mean, don't squander this opportunity. Do not squander. I'm telling you. This hour is brought to you by Locomar. Put the marathon gas in your vehicle that makes it purr like a kitten or roar like a tiger. Purr like a tiger cub, like a half cub. Get that food and drink.
The
get
the craft
beer.
The half cub's not old enough to drive. Right. Come on,
oh,
Clark.
Come on. The half cub is
he's
plenty
like
capable
10
of driving.
Years old.
Look, he could drive.
I don't know why
old.
He's there for night games. He's got a bedtime.
I think the half cub's like 20 years old.
No.
I recall the half cub. I recall the invention of the half cub when I was a...
But he doesn't age.
When I was a youngster.
He's always going to be a cub.
He doesn't age.
He can't be a 20-year-old cub.
I guess not. That will make him a tiger.
Right.
The
Think
bottom
it,
line
Clark.
Is Locomart, where Marathon fuels the American spirit, is across from Bojangles on Highway 93. You can check them out across or off of Highway 123 in Clemson. Tiger Lee is up with us next on the Northern Communication phone lines. What's up, Tiger Lee?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just listening to some of these phone calls and it's blowing my mind. I mean, come on, guys. We won by 27 by running the football. Different team. This is a different strength. And somewhere down the road, it's going to benefit us. Not every team can win when you take away one component of the offense. Just ask Louisville. And that's my take on it. I love the show, and I just like to hear your take. I'll take it off the air.
Thanks so much, Tiger Lee. We appreciate it. Boy, I definitely ask Louisville. Mercy. I got some thoughts on Louisville, too. You take Deshaun Watson out of this offense. It is not going to look the same. You take one player, Kelly gave a Justin Fuente quote a little bit ago about how taking on Clemson is like, trying to defuse a bomb where you snip the wrong wire and you blow your hands off. I mean, that's pretty morbid, but I get what he's saying. I totally understand it. The margin for error for this team is significantly less than last year because the guy in charge is not number four. It's just not number four. And this offense could be more efficient this year. But at the end of the day, having Deshaun Watson gives you some privileges offensively, like maybe you don't have to block quite as well. Maybe you don't have to run the ball quite as much. Maybe you don't have to be quite as precise with your route running because he's going to throw you open. There are some things that that everybody else has to do better this year because Kelly Bryant's a quarterback, and that doesn't mean Kelly Bryant's not a good quarterback. It means he's not Deshaun Watson. And I think that's something that's going to be it's going to be front and center this season as we continue to see the development of Kelly Bryant. I don't think necessarily that Kelly Bryant took a step back this weekend, but I don't think he stepped forward. I think he stepped forward against Kent State, and he stepped forward against Auburn, and he stepped forward against Louisville, and he just stopped this week. I don't think it was a step back necessarily. I don't think he played well, but I don't think his development regressed. I think he saw some new things that he didn't deal with very well. And I think he'll ultimately be better for it because I have no reason to believe that Kelly Bryant is regressing unless it happens multiple weeks. You made a comment, Kelly, about this offense and the nature of it that I thought was pretty interesting during the break.
Well, I think something we're noticing on today's show is that for whatever reason, and if I'm wrong, please let me know, 986-1566 text line or give us a call. I think for some reason Clemson fans are in denial or refuse to accept that Clemson is now a run-first team. And there's all this idea that if Kelly Bryant didn't throw the ball well, we can't win a single game, right?
Yes.
We're going to lose the rest of them if Kelly Bryant can't throw the ball well.
All these receivers, you can't activate
right.
them, whatever.
And, I mean, if you look at the numbers so far, Clemson has proved that so far it is a run-first team, and I think we'll continue to be that throughout the year. And I understand that it's an odd adjustment because Clemson really has never been a run-first team under Dabo Swinney. I mean, they haven't. But one thing that makes Dabo great is that he adjusts to his personnel. And like we have said so many times on the show, Kelly Bryant is not any of the quarterbacks that have come before him. He's different. He's unique. And therefore, Dabo's going to let, as Kelly always says, let Kelly be Kelly B, and use his strengths to benefit the team.
You realize that you said Kelly twice and B three times.
Let Kelly be Kelly B.
Yeah.
Right. Because
that's
he's
like
Kelly
put,
B.
That's like put ETN in.
N. Okay. Well, I just want to hit you with these stats, all right?
All right.
That basically confirm Clemson is, at least so far, a run-first team, and I think will continue to be throughout the year. Through four games, Clemson has 185 rushing attempts. Clemson has 125 passing attempts, all right? 60 more rush attempts than pass attempts. Check my math clock. I think that's right.
I think that's
yeah.
correct.
All right, good. Because you know I've been known to not add correctly.
Yeah, I'll let you have it.
So not only does Clemson have 60 more rushing attempts than passing attempts so far this season, this stat is crazy. Clemson has 17 rushing touchdowns and 3 passing touchdowns.
Wow.
Through four
How
games
about that?
This season. 17 rushing touchdowns and 3 passing touchdowns. If you don't think Clemson is a run-first team by now, you got to accept it, people. And
well,
it's not
it
a
is.
Bad thing. It's not at all. But it's different. And I think that's it's kind of hard for people to adjust to that after having Deshaun Watson for, what, 2.5 seasons?
You're also averaging 5.9 yards a carry as a team. And Travis Etienne's averaging 12.7. And Feaster, who's your Feaster back, is averaging 6.4. And Kelly Bryant's averaging 4.1 yards per carry, even though 8 of his 66 runs have been sacks for negative
right.
yards.
He's at a disadvantage when it comes to his yards per carry because of the sacks.
Correct.
But he averaged nearly 5 yards per carry on his 106 rushing yards against BC on 22 attempts. That's pretty darn good.
You're a third of the way through the season. You've got 3 guys with 249 yards or better. If you get through the regular season and you have 3 running backs with 750 or more yards, that's a national championship offense on the ground, period.
It's
End
different, but different is not always bad when it comes to changing up an offense.
Drew is up with us next. Got about a minute to go before the top of the hour break. What's up, Drew?
Not much. I kind of agree with a lot of the callers, but as far as the play calling goes, I think that the coaches tried to do a little something I think they saw very early that they could pretty much run it with ease, and so I think they tried to play with some different options. I don't think they wanted to show much of anything to the kind of just hold back and let Bryant just kind of work through some things. And then I think by about the fourth quarter, they just said, okay, it's time to go ahead and run the ball down their throats like we knew we could all game.
I don't disagree with that, Drew, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. It got to the point where you couldn't be frilly anymore. You couldn't take chances. You couldn't be multiple. You just got to do what works. It's kind of like when you in the fourth quarter in basketball, you might run some plays and stuff, but when the rubber meets the road, you put the ball in your best player's hand to tell him to go win the game. You play to your strengths. So you play field position. You've been playing field position and losing all game. If not for Will Spires being a baller, you're going to end up giving up. I mean, think about it. If Clemson's punting situation were like it's been the last couple years, the last, 3-4 years, you're going to end up in a world of hurt. Hour 3, coming up next. Stay with us.